Today's daf from Besechet Gittin, brought to you by Ben Chumot Yerushalayim, is daf Pei Gimel, and we're holding one fifth of the way down at the two dots. Tana Rabbanan. So we had a major machlokas in the Mishnah about what the halacha is. That was in our opening Mishnah, where somebody says, "Right, mutar b'chol adam, ela l'ploni." And Rabbi Eliezer says that in that case, the get is a good get. Now, we had two explanations of that. One, which is our Mishnah's explanation. The reason we know it's our Mishnah's explanation is because of the differences. Well, first, let's talk about the two explanations. The two explanations are that it might mean chutz, and Ella, in the sense of chutz, and it might mean the other meaning of tnai. Ella, in other words, unless you marry so-and-so, and if you marry so-and-so, it's no get. So it's amanat, that you don't marry so-and-so. Now, these were two totally different explanations, and in the Braita, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda said that the machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim, was only talking about the case of Amanat. But if it was chutz l'ploni, then it wouldn't be an issue. From the way that we understood our Mishnah, the way we understood our Mishnah was based on the Mishnah of Negayim, and that the only way to understand the word Ella in the Mishnah is chutz, then Rebbe Eliezer was arguing even about the case of chutz. And that, of course, led us to two completely different explanations. If he was arguing only about Amanat, so that it's simply like any other tonight. Why should the get be bottled just because you happen to make it tonight? And it happens to be that in this case, the tonight is that you won't marry this other guy. If you say chutz, then we had two explanations in how Rebbe Eliezer could say that even though it's not kritut, it doesn't matter. One was an actual pasuk in Val Chavaitel Ish Acher, which is mashma only one particular guy. So maybe if it was only mater to one other person, it would still be a good get. And the other was the raya that was brought from the din of Reach HaGet, that since the Torah asers a Kohen, even when he didn't mater her to anybody, so therefore it must be that it would be a good get if he was mater to one person. That's how Tosis explained basically the raya from there, right? So you see, it must be a good get on some level to the Kohen, and that means that you don't need the heter to be part of the get. There's the concept of the gerishin on the one hand from me, and then there's the concept of the heter to others, to others. And the two are not linked totally, because the Torah will asur grusha me'isha to a Kohen. Now, keeping that in mind today, please, we have now four attempts here to show that it's impossible to say what Rebbe Eliezer was claiming, and that it would be a good get. Now, it's not clear each one of these times whether they're talking about the Rebbe Eliezer that would say it's a good get when it was Almanat, or they're talking about the Rebbe Eliezer that it's a good get when it's Chutz, or they're talking about both. So let us see, and the Gemara will examine each one le'inyano in the context of this conversation. So after the death of Rebbe Eliezer, and this, of course, had led us to some pretty iffy situations, because it would mean that if we were learning out the same thing were true about Kiddush, then we'd really be in trouble, because then you can make a woman your wife, but not for so-and-so. For so-and-so, she's still a pnuya. I mean, that would be scary. So as you can imagine, what would come out of those kind of circumstances? So there was a major attempt here to undo the, and there were other reasons, as we know, about why we would want to undo the sheet of Rebbe Eliezer. So after his p'tira, there were four zakenim who came to disprove him. La shival devarav and Elohim. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Tarfon first, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Rabbi Loza ben Azariah, the Rabbi Akiva. And they spoke in that order. So na'ana Rabbi Tarfon v'amar. Rabbi Tarfon got up and made a proclamation as follows. Well, Harishal Chazuf and Isaitla Achiv Shazeshen Esra Alav, who mate below Bani. Now, just imagine a situation where this woman goes and gets married to the brother of, which she can, to the one that she is also to, right? Because now there's one guy which is Chutz with Ploni. So she marries the brother of Ploni.
Plony's the guy who...
That she's divorced. Not she's not divorced. For him, she's still married.
Right. She knows the brother.
And then the brother dies without children. Now, obviously, he cannot be the Chayim Yibum because she is an Eshet Ish. So, what would be the case over there? Lo nimtza zeh oker davar min haTorah. So, for him, if she gets married to the brother of the guy that she was Nesra love, Begerishin, so then for him, it doesn't make, she's married to the first guy. So, Halamata Shein Zekritut, can you imagine a case where the Torah would allow a get that would be Mavato, the mitzvah of Gitin? Impossible. And therefore, I say, says Rabbi Tarfon, that this cannot be the kritut that the Torah was talking about, because we end up with a crazy situation. Because to the brother, she is married to her previous husband. So the brother says, well, what do you mean? What? She's, so there goes the mitzvah yibum. No, not Rabbi Yossi Aglili v'amar. This is ridiculous. Heichon matzino asur lazeh mutar lazeh, whoever heard of such a thing, where a woman is usher to one person and mutter to another person. Either you're usher or you're mutter. Usher asur lakol, mutar mutar lakol. Clearly, this is not a good, let the Gemara work itself out. This is not a good get. Na na Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah v'amar. The Torah says, get kritut. And a get kritut means davara koreit beino leveina. Halamadita shein ze kritut. She's still stuck with him vis-a-vis this guy that she can never marry. Na na Rabbi Akiva v'amar. Arisha al chazu v'nis'et lechad min ashuk. Suppose she goes and gets married to somebody, and for the next 30 years she raises a family, and then he dies, or she gets divorced from him. And now she goes and gets married to the guy that she wasn't allowed to get married to. Nimtza get batel banei mamzerim. Absurd. Now we can ex post facto make all his children mamzerim. Halamadita shein zekritut. Ridiculous. Davar acher, and there's something else that bothers me, says Rabbi Akiva. Suppose that the one that she's not divorced for is a kohen. Right? Imagine. All right. Now the megaresh is mate. So now, to this kohen, she is an almana, not divorced.
He's so cool.
Right? But, right? She's not divorced. Because she was never divorced for him. Just like in the first case. To the brother of the guy who dies, she's not divorced from her first husband. So how could he possibly be miyabim her? Okay, so in this case, she's not divorced for the kohen. And he died. So now she's an almana. So now she would be mutera to him, despite the fact that she got a get. Okay? But clearly she's not muteran, because this is like maximum reach haget. She's divorced from everybody else in the world. I mean, come on. That's pretty divorcey. Okay, so he can't marry her, right? Now, make a kav v'chomer from that, okay? So she's an almana, and she's a grusha for everybody else. Not for him. Now, it's a kav v'chomer. The iser of a grusha is only a lav. Okay. Nonetheless, the fact that there is a tzad of gerushin in her is enough to aser her on the kohen who is aser on a grusha. An eshes ish is much more chomor than the iser of a grusha to a kohen. And therefore, if the grusha, which is kala, creates an iser on the kohen because of the tzad of the gerushin in her, then eshes ish, which is chomor, should certainly create an iser of reach ha'isha to anybody else who is, yes, divorced from her, as far as he's concerned. So he should say to himself, look, if a kohen wouldn't be allowed to marry a grusha in these circumstances, I certainly can't marry an eshes ish under these circumstances. Mm-hmm. All right? Brilliant, no? Of course, it opens the door to all kinds of arguments, which we'll get into. Okay. So this proves it. Inzekritut, ridiculous. Well, Marlon Rabbi Yeshua, fancy stuff to give your arguments after he dies, you know. Let's see you have the guts to say that to his face. Ain meshivina ta'ari la'achar mitah. Sure, everybody's ready to poke the lion if he's dead, you know. So you're poking the lion. Big, strong people you are. You know.
It's not the only place we see that expression. Yeah.
To try this some other time. Omar Rava. So Rava says, you know, the truth is, kulu itlu pircha. I could show you all of these questions, all five questions, because remember that Rabbi Akiva had two, right? So all five questions are easily answered, except from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's kritut, and enze kritut, simple understanding of the word. What does kritut mean? It means to cut you off. And that, you can't answer. Tanya Amiachi, and we find also in the Bright Amar Rabbi Yossi, Ro'er ani et divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah midivrei kulam. That makes the most sense to me.
Why did they have to wait until that's the biggest?
Oh.
Seems like a neat thing to do.
Omar Mar. Na'ana Rabbi Tarfon v'Amar. So Rabbi Tarfon answers, and he says in a loud voice, Rashi says, na'ana, which is an important Rashi to know, by the way, that every v'anita, every ania in the Torah means you say it aloud. Baharamatko. So v'anita v'amarta is it has to be said aloud with a sense of proclamation. So we use it as
and declamation is like the same.
Yeah, declamation would be good here. Also. Declaims, yeah. Okay. So let's start from the beginning. So na'ana Rabbi Tarfon v'amar. So look what this guy has done. He's destroyed the mitzvah of Yibam. Oh, come on. Oh, care. What do you mean, oh, care? You, a car, would understand it. He didn't do anything about the mitzvah of Yibam. He's not involved in the mitzvah of Yibam. The most you could say is he did something which ultimately caused the mitzvah of Yibam. What do you mean he was Oker? Okay, fine. So he wasn't Oker, but he made a Tanai that would be Oker Davar Min HaTorah. What do you mean he made a Tanai? What kind of Tanai? Did he ever say to her, you must marry the brother of the guy that you're... I mean, of course he didn't say that. It's idiotic. It happened to be. It worked out that way. So what? We're blaming this guy? I don't understand. I mean, what does that have to do with his garrison? Lots of times things work out, you know, in strange ways. It happened to be that she married the brother of the guy. So, I don't understand. Matneh. Mika Amala, what did he say to her? So, I didn't hear that. Lo sagi lo de lo mitzvah lo lachu adu gavra. You have to marry his brother? That's just like weird. Well, but fine. But by giving a strange shit like that, he was goreim l'akord of Armin HaTorah. Oh, come on, goreim. So then if that's the case, you should never marry your niece. All right, so mitzvah to marry your niece. But if you marry your niece, then she might fall to Yibum to your brother. And then your brother won't be able to be Miyabim her. So you're causing the Akira of the mitzvah's Yibum by marrying your niece. Well, what kind of crazy argument is that? I mean, things can happen that end up that the mitzvah of the Torah doesn't apply because she would be an erva or whatever, and that's one of these cases. So here we have a curious case where an eishes ish falls to Yibum. Right? So that's also one of the arayas in the Torah, an eishes ish. Okay. So that's the point. So, but me ata bat achiv lo yisa, shema yamut b'lo banim, v'nim tza gorem la'akor davar min ha'torah. You got it, buddy. That's the pircha. I knew I could lead you that way. So I told you, every one of these things, you can show that they don't make any sense. Okay. That's what I meant. So Rabbi Tarfon's argument doesn't make sense.
Now his problem, though, is just like when you hear it, it just doesn't even, like, what was he thinking when he was saying it?
Well, there's obviously a desire here to undo.
So
right.
We're
going to
still see stuff that isn't necessarily justified in order to just...
I don't know the answer to that. So now, let me ask you what the deal is over here. How were they addressing Rebbe Eliezer? That the cases that he said, chutz... Or is the case that he said Almanat? Because we have two very different explanations of Rebbe Eliezer. I'd like to understand how this discussion impacts that one. I mean, look, If we're talking about when he said, chutz miploni, then I got news for you. The whole thing falls apart for a very simple reason. The simple reason is that the moment that she marries this guy, then there is no longer any iser after he dies, because Mishra Shai Rabbi Eliezer, in that case, Rabbi Eliezer is actually mater her to marry the brother, and he could do Yibum, and it no longer applies. In other words, if she married somebody else besides the individual that was excluded from the get, right, and he said, chutz miploni, so she marries Joe. Once she marries Joe, and Joe either dies or divorces or whatever, there is no longer any iser on her left from the original marriage, according to Rabbi Eliezer, because the entire status of being married has now moved to the next person. She can't remain married to the first guy when she's married to the second guy. Once she's muttered from that marriage, she is... No, once she's muttered from the second marriage, the first marriage cannot be binding on her any longer. So even Rebbe Eliezer is moted to that. And therefore, if she married his brother, irrespective of his being a brother or anybody, if she married somebody else, in this case the brother, and that person dies without having children, she would get Yibum, because she would not be Asura to the brother any longer, since she is now married to someone else that happens to be his brother. Okay, and where do we know that? From the Tanya. Moda Rebbe Eliezer, b'megareshet ishto, ve'omer la hareat mutert l'chol adam chutz miploni. Then she goes ahead and she marries somebody at random. And he dies, and she was nitarmala. Or he gives her a get, and she was nitgarsha. That at that point, there are no longer any binding dinim, whether it was Tanai or anything else. There's no binding dinim from the first one. I shouldn't say if there was a Tanai, because that's wrong. If b'chutz, there would be no binding dinim. So it can't work with chutz, because chutz is based on the original marriage being still valid for this person. And it is no longer valid because she's married to somebody else. Therefore, the Rebbe Tarfon discussion cannot be based on his understanding Rebbe Eliezer as meaning chutz. It would have to be based on Ela ba'almanat. Now, if it was an almanat, then it's irrelevant. Because if he gives a get, and let's say he would say, you know, you have this get so long as you don't take a trip to the moon, right? So then if she takes a trip to the moon 30 years later, so then the get is bottom. Right? So then it makes no difference whether she was married to 100 people in between. The original get would be bottom because it was only given on that basis. It turns out she ended up, yes, taking a trip to the moon. A trip to the moon on gossamer wings. It was just one of those things.
Did Rebbe mean Rebbe Tarfon just now, or did Rebbe mean Yosef? If Rebbe meant Rebbe Tarfon, it didn't follow. But just now that we missed Rebbe Almanah.
Oh, no, yeah, I mean the discussion of Rova in... What did Rabbi Yosef Lili? How did Rabbi Yosef Lili get here? I'm very confused. The discussion of Rava and Rabbi Tarfon, where we said Ella.
Okay.
Well, where's Rabbi Yosef Lili?
It's coming.
All right, fine. Okay. Did you think I was talking about the next piece?
Huh? Oh. I asked you for some reason. I'm sorry.
That's weird. Sorry. Okay. Next attempt. Okay. Na Rabbi Yosef Lili v'amar. Heichon matzino asur lezeh mutar lezeh. It's ridiculous. Either your us or your mutter. Asur, asur lako, and a mutar, mutar lako. Well, I don't understand. What do you mean? Truma. Truma is mutter for a kohen, and asur for... I don't understand what was that supposed to be. Truma, the country. Asur, lazem, mutar. No, I mean, come on, a woman. A woman is asur for... I understand. Your daughter. wait, your mother. That's all of the arayas. I mean, you know what I mean. I mean a married woman. I mean, a married woman is either married or she isn't married. No, I mean, so I'm talking about Bishut Kamrina. Really? I can think of a great case. Your wife. She's mutara to you and asur to anybody else. Yep, you got it. That's the pircha. Hainu Pircha. Ah, so then, what was the case that we're asking this, that he was discussing? Did he understand Rabbi Eliezer to be b'chutz, or did he understand Rabbi Eliezer to be an almanat, b'mayim? Ilema ba'almanat. Now here comes the discussion that we had yesterday, which I mentioned to you briefly, that Tosis raises. The Gemara understands that the almanat is almanat shalotinasi. That was the Lashon in the Braita, remember? On condition that you don't get married. Okay, how about if you have a good night of fun with so-and-so? Then it doesn't count, because it's only you don't marry so-and-so, right? So if that's the case, then it's the almanat. She's not Asura Lazer. She's Mutera. She's only not allowed to put on that white dress to go marching down and so on. Fine, big deal. That's like any other tonight, no? She's still allowed to sleep with the guy. She's just not allowed to get married to the guy. So what's the bad about that? I mean, what if he would have said, you're not allowed to put on a dress and walk to a chuppah? I mean, would that somehow have made it not a get greases for some reason? That she's Mutera Lazer, Asura Lazer? She's Mutera. She's just not allowed to put on a white dress and walk to a chuppah. So take her to bed. Without the waitress, without the chuppah. I mean, that's not asura to them, right? Yeah, hello? Okay. So therefore, it cannot be talking about almanat, because almanat, she would be muteret biznut. Now, remember that we raised this issue about whether the almanat was limited to the case of that you won't marry, or it would be included in you will not have sexual relations with, and it makes no difference. Marriage, out of marriage, it's irrelevant. Yeah? Now, remember that we had two opinions in Tosfos. The Ri understood that despite the fact that the Gemara focuses here on the question of whether it's marriage qua marriage versus nus, actually that's irrelevant, okay? And the reason that it's irrelevant is because the issue here is the fact that it's a t'nai, not that it remains mutter biznus. The Gemara is just trying to simplify, says the Ri. But if you think about it, it isn't that there's a sexual isser, there's a t'nai isser that works out to us or her to him, because otherwise they'll be married. But that's not that there's a direct isser on him. There's no isser on him. It's only usser if he does it. Right? So right now you can't say there's an isser on him. That's your mom's situation. Same situation, right? So therefore, it cannot be talking about the idea of hutra cannot be biznut, cannot be be'almanat. Ella, it must be talking that he understood, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that the case was referring to chutz. So Ella b'chutz. Oh? Okay. Next case. Comes along Rabbi Akiva, and he says, this is ridiculous. Why is it ridiculous? Because HaResha Al-Chazuv, and he said, Lechad Menashuk, obviously we skipped Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah because we don't believe that there's a Pircha, but we'll get back to him, right? So Rabbi Akiva says, HaResha Al-Chazuv, and he said, Lechad Menashuk. And after all these years, they have kids. And then now all of a sudden, he dies, her new husband dies, and she goes back to this guy that she wasn't allowed to marry. So then, doesn't it turn out that the get is batel and the children are mamzerim, and is that acceptable in your eyes? Says, well, that's crazy. I mean, so you could say that about any t'nai. Wherever there's a t'nai in a get, we shouldn't have a kosher get, because after all, would the Torah have allowed a kosher get? So then, yochi b'kula t'nai the alma. I mean, not me lotin, you should not allow to get married with a get with a t'nai. Yeah, you got it. That's the pircha. I know pircha, says Rav. Right? Okay, now, how did Rabbi Akiva understand the case? Was the case a chutz case, or was it an almanat case, according to Rabbi Akiva? Well, ubemai, and once again, we go through the same understanding that we did earlier. If we're talking about b'chutz, as we've already told you, Rabbi Eliezer, if it's a case of bachutz, is actually matir her after the death or divorce from a new husband, because now the entire marriage is in the hands of the second husband, not in the first husband, and therefore all rulings of chutz no longer have any validity. And as we said before, b'chutz mishra shoy Rebbe Eliezer, d'tanya moder Rebbe Eliezer b'megareish et ishto v'amar l'ret mutar l'chol adam chutz b'ploni, and she goes and marries George from the shul. So that in that case she can go back and marry the guy that she wasn't allowed to marry from the first marriage, because there is no more first marriage, because she got married to somebody else. So over there, she's muteret position as Ralaf. So that cannot be how Rabbi Akiva understood the case here with Rabbi Eliezer. Therefore, it must be Ba'al Menat. He must have understood that it's a Tznai B'Alma, and if indeed it's a Tznai B'Alma, so then it's a trip to the moon on gossamer wings, and sure enough, then that would be making her children Mamzerim. Okay.
It's forever, the
Tznai. Yeah, Tznai is, or whatever he made it. In this case, he made it free. He can never fly to the moon. Okay. Okay, so therefore, fine. Therefore, it's got to be done Ba'al Menat. Now, Rabbi Akiva continued saying, "Davar acher." There's another thing. What's the other thing? Harei shayezesh shenesra alav kohen umet hamigaresh. So now, what happens? For this kohen, she's an amana and not a grusha. For all other kohanim, she's a grusha, and therefore, it's still, despite the fact that it's not his grusha, but it's still also an him as a grusha, because it's reyach haget multiplied, right? Okay? So she's a grusha, it's a kol adam, and now we have a kal v'chomer. It's a very subtle argument, a beautiful argument. So now we have a kal v'chomer. If the iser grusha, which is an iser kal, and is nonetheless remains usher on this kohen to whom she's not migration, because there's this little sad gerishin, these are the other people, right? That's enough to answer her. Eishes ish, which is so chomer, lo koshikein, that little piece of ishut will answer her on someone to whom she is not an eishes ish, because she's an eishes ish to others. Fascinating argument. Now, did Rabbi Akiva understand that the Rebbe Eliezer was referring to a case of chutz or al menat in this argument? Don't tell me about the previous argument. In this argument, okay. So ilema the al menat. Then, as we said before, there's nothing to discuss because she is a grusha to this kohen. You're making a kal v'chomer about a kohen that she's not a grusha to, she's only an almana to. But if you're telling me it's an almanat, then the idea would be completely a false comparison, right? Because as far as znus is concerned, she would be a grusha to him. So therefore, if she would die, so she would die, what would the din, the husband would die, what would the din be on this kohen if the husband had died? She would still be a grusha, because the whole reason that there's a problem is only almanat, correct? The almanat was, you will not marry, right? Yeah, so you are manat that you don't marry this guy. Okay, so then that means she is considered to be an eshet ish, vis-a-vis his marriage to her. If, this is brilliant, listen to this, if the guy dies who made that time, now she's only an almana, except for one minor problem. If he didn't marry her and he just wants to sleep with her, what's her din? Then she's a grusha, because the tznai was only not to marry her. So she's a grusha to him for him sleeping with.
She really is an Ashesish?
She was married to one guy. Remember what the case is. She's married to Reuven. Reuven says, you're divorced from me on condition that you don't marry that Cohen. Right? That particular guy. Okay. So we're saying not chutz. Chutz in the sense of chutz, the divorce is in the chal for that Cohen. You're talking about almanat that you don't marry the Cohen. So for her, for that kohen,
she's divorced.
She is not divorced, because she will be an eishes ish the moment that he takes her. But if he sleeps with her, then she will be divorced. So what kind of ridiculous argument are you making that he is us because of Rea Chaget? It's nothing to do with Rea Chaget. She's divorced for him. It's a t'nai. It's irrelevant, right? And obviously it isn't, again, as Tosfos explains, it isn't the subtlety of the difference between whether it was that you shouldn't marry. It's just the fact is that she's not really not divorced to him. She is divorced for him. It's just that there's a t'nai that will cancel the divorce. But she's certainly a grusha to him if it's only almanat. It must therefore be chutz. The divorce was never a chal.
Wow.
It's beautiful. Right? So it must be chutz. Okay, so if to you as the kohen, she is not divorced at all. So then when the husband dies, she's only an almanat. And nonetheless, you cannot marry her.
You, the Kohen.
That's not fair. You, the Kohen, cannot. Why? Right? Because of Rea Chaget, because she is divorced for other people. So Kol Shekin, if she's married for other people, she should be Osra on someone to whom she's not married. But that creates something of a problem, because that means now Rabbi Akiva is understanding Rabbi Eliezer only if it's chutz. And before we said, he's only understanding Rabbi Eliezer only if it's almanat. Okay. So, please have patience. Right? So therefore, so you lay b'almanat, harei grusha etzlo b'znut, ela b'chutz. Says the Gemara, what does Rabbi Akiva hold? If Rabbi Akiva holds that the Ella over here is chutz, then let him ask him the case from chutz, this case. And if he holds that the case of Rabbi Eliezer is almanat, then he should have asked the other question of almanat. Why is he asking two questions? Well, because Rabbi Akiva heard Shmiyalei de'ika de'omar chutz. Some understood Rabbi Eliezer is chutz, and some understood Rabbi Eliezer almanat. So therefore, he said, look, I don't care how you understand Rabbi Eliezer, I have a problem in either direction. So if you're understanding chutz, here's the question. Hi, Pircha. Mandi or Mamanat? Hi, Pircha. Okay, and you said everything has an answer, but you didn't tell me what the answer was to this one. We didn't stumble over an answer to this argument. It seems to be a nice argument, right? So, umay Pircha. What's wrong with this argument? Well, I know what you're going to tell me. The obvious thing that's wrong with this argument is that you cannot bring a raya from Rea Chaget, because Rea Chaget is this new, insane thing that only applies to Kohanim, and you're trying to learn it out for any Eishes Ish to any Yisrael.
Learn it to everything. It's partly yes, but a little bit no.
Okay, but maybe the Torah only does that for Kohanim who are crazy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So maybe that's what you want to tell me, but you can't. Tell me that. Why can't you tell me that? Because Rebbe Eliezer's raya is from Rea Chaget. Where did Rebbe Eliezer come up with this whole crazy idea that you could divorce someone for, but not to others? From Rea Chaget. Isha grusha me isha. So, and he didn't think it's a problem learning it out from the kuna. Oh, so now all of a sudden, when it's his benefit, now he's going to say, well, you can't ask me for the kuna. Really, Rebbe Eliezer, if you can't ask from the kuna, then how do you know your whole halacha? Nasty, nasty. It's so beautiful. But if you're going to try to tell me, inema iser kuna shiny, Rebbe Eliezer nami mi iser kuna kamay silei. So what's Rava saying, kulo islo pircha? Ah, but you forget. There was another basis to Rebbe Eliezer, and that was not from Isha Grusha Me Isha, but from Ve'al Chava Haitali Ish Acher, which means even if she was only Muteret to one Ish. That is how Rava understood it, and that's how Rebbe Yanai had explained Rebbe Eliezer, Mishum Zaken Echad. And that, therefore, Rava says, well, you can ask a question all of these. But if you don't hold of it, then you don't have a question. Rabbi Akiva's got a good point. His second point, right? So therefore, Rava Kribian, Mishum Zakin Echad Kamasni, and he's got the obvious comeback. The comeback is, you don't have a right to learn from Isurei Kuna. And Rabbi Eliezer himself did not learn from Isurei Kuna.
We haven't had a discussion about how everyone's the one.
You're looking at notes.
No.
No? Okay.
The Gemara takes time to show you how to think.
Mm-hmm. And, that's the opening of Yuma. Rashi explains that the Gemara does this. But that's an analysis. It doesn't answer Moshe's question, because that is an analysis of a Mishnah. So in order to show you the steps that it takes,
right,
if you were a computer, this is how you would have to work it out. So that if you want to put it into machine language, then you'd have to go through all of these steps. In fact, we don't have to entertain all of these steps. How that would relate to opening up and attacking Rebbe Eliezer after his death doesn't seem to make sense. Well, Barlam Rebbe Yoshua. So Rebbe Yoshua says, well, you can't start up with a lion that's dead. Wait a minute, what does that mean? You mean that Rebbe Yoshua backs Rebbe Eliezer on this opinion? But he had another question, number six, that we didn't hear about yet, but we're going to hear about it. So if he himself attacks Rebbe Eliezer, so how's he yelling at them? No, what he's saying is, listen, gentlemen, please. I have problems with Rebbe Eliezer too. But, you know, I'm not going to sit up there and nah, Rebbe Yoshua of Yomar, you know? Because Ben Ledidi, Ben Leditru, Ein Mishivina Tari La Karmita, you want to have bad dreams? Who might be Rebbe Yoshua? Okay, but now that he's told us he's got problems, what are his problems? The Tanya. Omer Rebbe Yoshua, look, the Torah says that she was, first it says she was married to him and she gets a get. Then it says, right? So now, what that means is that we're being mawkish her situations, kikach ish isha, and so on. So that means we're mawkish kodme havaya shnia, the kodme havaya rishona. I mean, look, it started off by saying kikach ish isha v'alav lo matzach ein beinav and v'girsham mibeito v'alchavai tali isha her, and so on, right? So that means we've got two situations, husband one and husband two. This is put into one pasuk to indicate that the status of this woman as a penuya prior to husband one's marriage is the equivalent of the status of the isha to husband number two. And therefore, in the same way that she was free of any husbands when she married husband number one, she's got to be free of any husbands when she marries husband number two. And therefore, there cannot be a case. She's not going to have anybody else's rishus on her. She can go get married, right? So, it's got to be the same. She shouldn't be locked in to some other relationship. Okay. Now, before we get to discussion, we will get back to Rabbi Yoshua. But first, I am a little bit concerned about Rebbe Eliezer's svara. Why do Rebbe Eliezer says b'megarish ishto, right? Gufa. What do Rebbe Eliezer b'megarish ishto? V'yomar lahareyat muteret lekol adam chutz b'plon. We had this now already two times before, right? The halcha v'niseit lechad min hashuk, she marries George, guy at random, and then George dies or gives her a divorce, that then all bets are off. So that was the first marriage limitations do not limit her in any way. So over there, she's muteret lezesh and hesra alav, right? Okay. So obviously, this braita in Rebbe Eliezer is understanding Rebbe Eliezer as a chutz. Okay. Hey, Shiv Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar teshuvah. Now we're starting up with this, okay? So Rebbe Eliezer said that. So comes along Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar and says, how can we say that? I understand. Husband number one asks her, and now George, who is husband number two, is mater her. How did husband number two be mater? Never heard of such a thing, one guy asking and the other guy matering. You didn't? How about Yibum? The Baal, original Baal asks her, dies, and now the Yavam comes along and is mater her. Right? No, not true. It isn't the husband that asks her. The Yavam asks her, because the Baal is already dead. And if there wasn't a Yavam around, she would be Muteret. So don't blame him. You got to blame the Yavam.
That's
a nice fit. Fine. She's got no husband anymore. Okay, fine. Nidorim. And know their answers, Chacham is Matir, okay? So I know their answer, Chacham Matir. Well, Rabbi Yochanan explained that Chacham can't be Matir Glum, Ela Becharata. It's not in your hands as a Chacham. You are a facilitator, getting the guy to understand that he has Charata from this netter. Okay, what about a husband? Hafarat HaBaal, over there, she says Usher, he says Mutter. Now, what are you going to do about that? Yisha's Naderet, the Baal is Mefer. Yeah, but remember, over there we have Repinchas, which made the Rav. The Omer Repinchas, which made the Rav, Kol HaNoderet, Al Dat Baalai Noderet. So, that means it's built into her original netter. Okay. Then, Nana Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, getting back to the discussion, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, we haven't discussed yet. We skipped him. We went straight to Rebbe Akiva 1 and Rebbe Akiva 2. Now, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah says, look, it says kritut. Kritut is a davar akuret ben olaveina. And look, clearly this is not a kritut. And that's all there is that I have to say about that. And that's the end of the discussion. Well, nobody else seems to have understood it that way. I mean, it does say kritut. How did everybody else understand kritut to allow Rebbe Eliezer to survive the pasuk of kritut and not consider it to be a problem?
Because
it doesn't. She's not cut off. Because all these strings attached. She's still married to him. These are these so and so. What kind of cut off is that? You're cut off somewhat. That's not kritut. I'm in charge of your body when it comes to so-and-so. If so-and-so wants you, you are mine.
No,
if it's chutz, it's not effectively that way. It's really that way.
Okay, but
you can argue that. Maybe that's exactly, you know, that's the machlokas with rebellious. Okay, so how did they understand this kritut? Because kritut's got to mean something, right? Well, they say it does mean something. It means, this is your get on condition that you never drink wine, never take a trip to the moon, never go to visit your father, ever. Then that's not kritut. But if you say, for the next 30 years, the next 30 days, then it is kritut. Now, in this case, are you really limiting her forever? No. There's strings attached so long as this guy is alive. I don't know, this guy may drop dead tomorrow, right?
The one that she can't marry?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So fine. So I'm limiting you. So you can't take a trip to the moon for the next 3 years, 30 years, whatever it is, you know. Okay, so then that's not the problem of kritut. That's a problem of logistics.
So time
the guy may survive, the guy may not survive, but it's not built in to my Tanai that your life has been controlled by me. So that's what kritut means. If I control your life, then it's a problem. If I don't control your life, then it's not a problem.
For a short time he does, or the time of...
That's okay. That's okay because that's external to me. It's not your life. It's your behavior for the next 50 years. Whatever, but it's not your life. You know, you're never supposed to say what a child is. You're only supposed to say how they act. Rotten little moms.
don't criticize the child, criticize the behavior.
Good night.
It was actually Tzipora's grandfather who always said there's only one thing you can call a child if you're angry. A bastard. Why? Because that will never be gone.
Well,
there's no self-fulfilling.
If you wrote these subjects, you might actually be able to do it.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, so what is it now when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah understands kritut to have to be kritut, total kritut? He says, well, but we have two limudim there. Karet, it could have said, right? Instead of get kritut, get karet. And instead it says kritut. So that means it's adding an additional halakha about controlling her body for marriage. V'idach, karet kritut lo darsh, which doesn't literally mean karet kritut lo darsh, it's just mitzah, because we have alternative drushes for karet kritut, is what it means that we discussed earlier in the Masechet. Amar Rav, so that means, basically, that if you say, this is your get on condition that you don't drink wine as long as I'm alive. Why? I understand. As long as so-and-so is alive, you can't drink wine. That's fine. Why? Because maybe Plony will die. And then there's no problem. There's Mekayim the Tanai. And if he says my own life, maybe he'll die before her. And it's the same thing. It'd be Mekayim the Tanai. Now, obviously, what Rava was thinking is that because so long as I am alive, then our relationship is one of my controlling you. That's not called kritut, but as far as pointing out, why would that not be called kritut? The question is whether her life is controlled, not whether her life is controlled within his life. That's not the point. So therefore, you're right. Ela ema kol yemei chayech. If you say your whole life you can't drink wine, then it's not kritut. But if you say, so long as I'm alive, or so long as Plony is alive, then it is kritut, because you are not limiting her life. Rav Pegimon. Tana Rabban. Le'achar patirato shu Rabbi Yezer nichnesu arba azik gilim lashiva devarav eloi. Rabbi Yezer Aglili, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Lozav ben Azariah, v'Rabbi Akiva. Na'ana Rabbi Tarfon v'yomar. Harish al-chazu v'niset li'achim shal zesh nesra v'meit belo banim lo nimtze zel ker davar min ha-Torah v'lamadata she'in zekritut. Na'ana Rabbi Yezer Aglili v'yomar. Heichan matzino asur lezeh mutar lezeh asur asur lakol amutar mutar lakol v'lamadata she'in zekritut. Na'ana Rabbi Lozav ben Azariah v'omar. Kritut means davar koreit v'no levina v'lamadata she'in zekritut. Na'ana Rabbi Akiva v'yomar, harish ha'ochazu v'niseit l'chad min ha'shuk v'yu lo banim v'nitarm lo nitgarsha v'yomda v'niseit l'zeh sh'nesra alav lo nimtze get batel u'baneh ha'mamzirim alamadata she'in zekritut. Davar acher, harish ha'ya zeh sh'nesra alav kohen u'meit ha'migaresh lo nimtzeit almana etzlo v'grusha etzlo kol adam. So then, nonetheless, he's not allowed to marry her because of Reach again. So then it's not a Kal v'chomer. If a grusha, which is an iser kala to a kohen, is asura, only b'shvil tzad gerish and shabbat to others, an eshet ish, chamura, lo koshkin, it should be also because of the tzad eshet ish to others, well, amanat hasha ein zekritu. Omar lem Rabbi Yoshua, ein b'shivina ta'ari le'achar mita. Omar Rava kulu itlu pircha lavar min Rabbi Lozav ben Azariah, lazai pircha, tanya amiachi, Omar Rabbi Yossi, Roleani at Divir Belozab and Hazaria, Midivre Kulan. Omar Marna, Anarabi, Tavra Marishokos, when he said, Lachim Shal said, Shinetzra, the maid below Boni, Lonim Tazel, Kerda Varmina Torah. What is this thing what you're talking about, man? What do you mean, O Kermina? You are Kar. Well, I mean, he's being Matne Lakar, the Varmina Torah. Why? What? He didn't say anything about that. Matne? Mikomala, what he says, oh, you absolutely have got to go ahead and marry this guy's brother. I mean, lo sagila, dolo mitzvah la'chudu gavra. Come on. Well, he's gorim la'kadavar minat. Gorim? No. So, lo me'ata batachiv lo yisa, shema yomut lo belo banim, nimtze gorim la'kadavar minatora. Well, after all, that's the biracha. Ubama, yilim abachutz. Actually, mishra shay Reb Eliezer in that case, to marry the guy. The Tanya Moder Reb Eliezer migration to Shtov Amal Reb Mater to call a dab chutz mi plodi. V'alch when he said by Chaim and a shuk when it armlo it garsha from him that then she's muter at position as Rava. Okay, fine. So we understand it as almanat. Next, Reb Yosef Glu. Na'ana Reb Yosef Glu leiv Amar Echom Atzino Asur Laze Mutar Laze Asur Asur Lakol Amutar Mutar Lakol Ve'are Truma V'Kotchim Shasur Laze Mutar Laze. I mean, Isher Isha Kamrina. Well, okay, Arayot. I mean, Ishut Kamrina. Oh, okay. Arayeshet Ish. Okay, fine. That's the Pirukha. Now, year two, B'mai. Yidleim Ibamanat, Arayut Ratzlo Biznut, Ela Bechutz. Na'ana Rabbi Akiva Vamar, Arayeshah Ochaz, Venisit Bechad, Menashur Kvayula Bani, Venitar, Lonit Karsh. Miamda, Venisit Lezeshen Ezra, Lav, Lonit Zaget, Batelo Banea Mamzerim. I mean, I understand. The Yachi Bekulut tonight the Amanami Latinsa. Dimalomakayim Lala tonight. Nim to get Bato. Uvanel Mamzerim. Yep, you got it. Hainu Bircha. Okay. So be mine. Ilema. Are we talking about the case Bachutz I just explained to you that Mishra Shor Rebbe has a tiny mode of Rebbe Garish at Tishu Amar at Mater Lachol Adam Chutzvi Ploni Valchum and Isid Lechon Min Ashur when it Armelon did Karsha Shemuteret Lezeshen Yisrala Ela Ba'almanat. My next argument is Dover Acher Harishai Yisrashen Yisralaf Kohenu Meta Megarish Lo Nimtzat Amanat Zlo Grushay Tzokol Adam Vekal Vachomer Uma Grusha Shikala Asur Mishim Tzad Gerashin Sheba Eshat Ish Hamura Lo Koshike. Okay, question. Ubumat. Ilema ba'almanat. I mean, almanat, after all, then she would not really be a grusha only to others. She's a grusha to him too. She's a grusha at Slo Biznut. Ela b'chutz. Rabbi Akiva, I don't understand. Make up your mind. I mean, ibechutz, really. So then he should ask about chutz. If he holds Rabbi Eliezer's talking about almanat, really. So then lotiv almanat. Well, Rabbi Akiva heard both versions. And he could amar amanat. So therefore, he's just saying, either way, I've got a pircha. Man yom ha-chutz, I pircha. Man yom amanat, I pircha. Okay, and how do we show that this is a wrong argument? It sounds actually quite sophisticated. So my pircha, I mean, I know what you're going to try to throw at me, and that's that Yisrkun HaShayni, but that doesn't work because the Rebbe Eliezer Nami actually learns it out from Yisrkun because of Reach HaGet Kamaitila. But Rava holds like Rabbi Yana Mishum Zaken Echad Kamatni, that he learns it out from Vaitali Ish Acher. Omaram Rabbi Yeshua, En Meshivina Ta'ari Le'achar Mita. Are you saying that Rabbi Yeshua is backing Rabbi Eliezer? I think, are you Nami Mifrach Kaporech? No, he's just saying, look, guys, I mean, Lididi Nami Itli Pircha. Miu, Bein Lididi, Bein Liditchu. I mean, it's all very nice, stand up here, nah, nah, fancy, fancy, not get shot down. You know, Mishivin Tari Lachar Mita. So, what is actually the Pircha of Rabbi Yeshua? The Tanya, Omar Rabbi Yeshua, Makish, Havakod Me Havai Ashniya, Lakod Me Havai Rishonu. Hello? That's the Yavam that's God's way. Me, Balo Shari Vakaima. Okay, what about the Dorim? The Noder is also the Chacham is Matir. But Amr Rabbi Yochanan Chacham Matir Klum, Elo Bacharata. Hare, Hafarata Baal, the Isha Nodera to Baal Mefer. That's like Rippin Kazim Shveder Rava. Don't Rippin Kazim Shveder Rava, Kalon Nodera, Al Dad Baalai Nodera. So what kind of question do you have? Nana Rabbi Elizabeth Hazayev Amar Kritut. And why did the Rabbanan not find this to be a good question? Hi, Kritut, my Abdile. Mi boy, Lulu Kitatanya. Raise a kitech, a natural teach the yai. A natural turfila betavir. If he says lo olam, so the name is a Kritut. Why? Because it's not a davar koreit. If he says shloshim yom, I raise a Kritut. In this case, is essentially a shloshim yom kind of deal because you're saying almanat that you don't get married to this guy as long as he's alive. It's not as long as you're alive because this guy may die. Ve'idach mikareit kritut nafka. Ve'idach kareit kritut lo darshe. Oh my rabbi, raise a gitech almanat shlotishtei ein kol yimei chayai ein ze kritut. Kol yimei chayei ploni, I raise a kritut. My shloch chayei ploni de dilma maya to mekaimel letanai. Chayei didei nami dilma maya to mekaimel letanai. Ela ema ko yemei chayei en zekritut. Ko yemei chayei, chayei ploni, al pe zekritut.